Candy Floss News and no political spin. This is Truth Radio by Internet. Thanks to our sponsor, NeemWell.com, because here, the expression is still free. It's a scam, it's a rip-off, and it's been going on for 100 years. But maybe now, thanks to one man and the internet, the great eyeglasses scam is coming to an end. You're on the next level on breakfornews.com.
Would you do me a favor and push me on to the next level?
And you are on the next level, and this is Fintan Dunn reporting. Thanks for joining us. Thanks also to our sponsor, NeemWell.com, your personal source for potent Indian neem. It's the world's most popular herb, and it's almost unknown outside of India. But Kathy McMahon formulates it in a hypoallergenic base, and you can get more details at NeemWell. That's NeemWell.com. And speaking of things that are unheard of, some of you may have heard about this con, this rip-off, this complete scam. But if you haven't, well, this should be an eye-opener. Pardon the pun. My guest in this edition is Donald Rame. He's the founder of the Myopia Prevention Association, and he has been working since 1972, 3, 4, 5 in particular, to expose the scam that is prescription glasses. There's some good news and some bad news. The bad news is that if you're over, say, 30 years of age, then it's unlikely that you can do anything to reverse short-sightedness. However, the good news is that we now have the information, thanks to Donald, and thanks to the power of the internet to get that information out, in order to ensure that the next generation of children does not suffer the short sight and diminishment of vision with age that this generation has. To put it in a nutshell, what's been going on for close on 100 years is that the distance vision glasses prescribed to treat short sight make it even worse and ensure that children slowly get more and more short-sighted. That's a problem we're finding in the Far East in particular, where rates in Singapore now are in the order of 80%. But hey, it isn't just today or yesterday this is happening. Let's go back to the case of the Eskimos. Back in 1969, a study came out of 1,200 Eskimos in Barrow, Alaska. What it found was that following the adoption of Western education for their children, Eskimo children were demonstrating rates of short-sightedness in the order of 65%. Guess what the rate of short-sightedness was in their parents, who hadn't done all that close-up reading that we do in modern education? It was virtually nil. Of course, once you're exposed to books and if you're inside an igloo half the year, there's not much else to do, is there? And that's not the only study. Study after study, back over the years, has shown that in fact it is our close reading that's causing short sight. And the real tragedy is there is a solution which can be deployed, a protection which can be given to children to make sure that they don't have the short sightedness that is plaguing an entire generation across the planet as we speak. Let's get into more detail on the actual mechanics of this and some tips and advice for the young and indeed for the older a little later in the show. But first, I'd like to go straight to our guest, Donald Rame, who's joining us on the line from Florida. You're very welcome, Donald. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Okay, and I'm glad you're here, because we may not be able to do a great deal for the current generation, Donald, but we can do an awful lot for the next one that's coming up. Donald, I remember very well back at the age of about 14 or 15 when I used to be able to see the numbers on the bus as it turned the corner 400 yards away, and then it all went badly wrong and my vision deteriorated. The same thing happened to you. You experienced a deterioration in vision when you were studying engineering, but you didn't accept the conventional wisdom. What did you do and what did you feel was going on, Donald?
I was about 18 when I first noticed that I was having some vision problems in the distance, and of course I went to the library and all I found there was that it was inherited, and I just couldn't believe that. And of course, the last thing I wanted to do was put glasses on my nose the rest of my life. So I started looking a little further, and I heard that some optometrists were using reading glasses on young children to try to prevent myopia. In other words, the same kind of glasses that older folks used. So I got myself a pair of those glasses and used them every day when I was reading, and sure enough, my vision came back to normal. So I figured I had something there.
Right.
That's how it all got started.
Okay. The conventional wisdom at the time I experienced my decrease in vision was that it was puberty-related. What is the conventional wisdom now, or do they even admit to having any wisdom behind the current system?
Well, that was one of the theories that you just mentioned. There's been an awful lot of different theories about it. It's almost as if, as they say, they're looking at the trees and fail to see the forest. We know that over 100 years ago, researchers noted that people who use their eyes for close work a lot, like bookkeepers, were very often nearsighted. And people who use their eyes mostly for distance, like soldiers, were rarely nearsighted. So as far as I'm concerned, that's all the research we've ever needed into why this is happening and what you can do about it. The more you use your eyes for reading and such, the more likely you are to become nearsighted. Now, there are a few people who are lucky, and they seem to read a lot, and they don't become nearsighted, but that's certainly not the rule. And some of these Far Eastern countries, like Singapore and Taiwan and Japan, something like more than 90% of the college graduates are now nearsighted. And we still have eye doctors telling us, well, it's inherited. Well, it can't be inherited, because increases like that just don't happen in a short period of time. And as you probably know, in some of those countries, they start teaching their kids to read at a very young age, which is very harmful. They study hard to get ahead in life.
Mm-hmm.
They have to deal with those mysterious Oriental characters when they write and all that. So it's a terrible burden on their eyes, and that's why we're seeing this. But the rest of the world isn't far behind, and now that kids go home from school, and instead of going out and playing ball, they're several hours on their computer. So we're seeing this kind of increase in all these modern nations.
Okay. And mechanically speaking, just so people get a clear picture of what's happening, in order to see close up, there's a muscular contraction takes place.
You have a lens just behind the pupil of your eye, and when the lens changes shape, that's how you focus different distances, and the ciliary muscle actually goes right around that lens, just like a ring around your finger.
Mm-hmm.
And when you want to look at something close, that circular muscle contracts, and it makes the lens thicker, and it bends the rays of light more. And we're all born farsighted. This means that the eye is a little bit shorter than ideal, and so this focusing effort, this accommodation, has to take place at all distances, even when we look into the distance. And when this goes on for a long period of time, that muscle locks up, goes into a kind of spasm. This means that you could sleep 8 hours, and it would still be there.
Yes.
And the body does this for a reason, because this triggers, by pulling on the tissues around the rear of the eye, an elongation of the eye. And the idea is that the eye will elongate until it has reached the ideal length, so that your focusing muscles inside the eye are at rest for distance. And that's where it's supposed to stop. And that's where it does stop if we're illiterate, or if we're monkeys living in the wild, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
But when we continue to do prolonged close work, the eye passes through the ideal length, and it becomes abnormally long. And that's what myopia is, an abnormally long eye. Now, it's bad enough that we have the nuisance and expense of wearing glasses, but what most people don't understand, and what they aren't told by their eye doctors, is that as myopia increases, you become more and more at risk for certain serious eye problems, like retinal detachment, macular degeneration, glaucoma, and so forth. And this is why prevention is so important.
Yes. Well, then, the catastrophic error that has been made by ophthalmologists is to compound this elongation of the eye by prescribing distance glasses, which simply lock in the change that has already been made, and then, I suppose, worsen it as you continue to engage in the same close reading behavior.
That's exactly right, because the eyeglasses they prescribe are just the opposite of the reading glasses you find in the store. What they prescribe we call minus lenses. And these are lenses which are thinner in the center and thicker on the outside. When you put those in front of the eye, they actually bring the whole world closer. In other words, let's say you develop myopia so that arm's length is as far as you can see clearly. Well, when you put on these minus lenses, that distant mountaintop out there is now up at arm's length, and the book that you were holding out there is now much closer. In other words, your whole world has come closer. That's what minus lenses do.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the result of this? Well, the eye continues to grow abnormally. Your vision worsens. You go back and get stronger glasses. It's a vicious circle. When you see people wearing really thick glasses for nearsightedness, you can be sure that most of that is caused by the doctor's continuous prescription of minus lenses.
Mm-hmm.
That's the tragedy of the whole thing. People aren't told that there's a second opinion. There's a second way they can go here. They can try using plus lenses on their children to ease this focusing effort and retard and maybe stop myopia.
Right.
Sort of what I'm fighting for.
Yeah. It reminds me almost, Donald, of the Muhammad and the mountain. The problem is that through continuous close distance reading, I can't see the mountain. So the answer from the ophthalmologist is to bring the mountain to me, whereas in fact I should be doing the other thing. I should be getting my vision back working at distance again.
Yes, that's right. Minus lenses bring things closer. Plus lenses push things further away from a focusing standpoint.
Okay, and you've identified an effective technique that can be used. It's on the website myopia.org, which is called reading at the far point.
Mm-hmm.
Could you explain the principle of that and how that operates?
Yeah, there have been studies where they have half-heartedly tried to give a weaker prescription or something like that, but they never go far enough in these studies. The only way that you can really counteract this hour after hour of close work that we do is to provide a strong enough plus lens so that the eyes are fully relaxed for whatever distance you're working at, let's say wherever you hold the book. And if you have a child who's just moving into myopia, that child would normally need a +3 pair of reading glasses.
Mm-hmm.
And with those on, and you're holding the book out there at normal distance, the words may be just a little bit blurred. If you push it away, they get even more blurred, and if you bring it close, they get clear.
Mm-hmm.
If they're slightly blurred, this is the indication that your eyes and the focusing mechanism in there are completely relaxed. In fact, you're forcing that ciliary muscle to relax. This is the only method that works. If you just give a child some plus lenses and push them out the door and say, use these without any further guidance, well, there are children who put their noses in a book.
Yes.
So it just isn't enough. They've got to have education on how to use their eyes, hold that book out there, use proper light, all these things. And this has never really been done in any study.
Yeah. Okay, so it's almost like a reversal of the misadaption. You're going the opposite direction and achieving results. But you have something even better, which is your own patented device, the Myopter Viewer. That seems to provide extraordinary benefits. Could you just outline the principles there and what benefits it can supply?
Well, when I was younger and started to learn about this, I found out that some people had tried to use this plus lens, but they ended up with temporary headaches or double vision. And it turns out that there are a small number of people who have trouble converging their eyes, turning their eyes toward the nose for long periods of time. So the Myopter is quite similar to the eyepiece of a binocular microscope, and it just completely relaxes the eyes. And when we used it a couple of decades ago in Pittsburgh with an optometrist, put it on children, well, he got reversals in their myopia and ended the problem right there. But since then, nobody has agreed to do any further testing.
Okay. Is there any benefit to the use of the pinhole glasses to achieve some of this relaxation effect, or are you better just going for plus lenses?
You have to have the plus lenses. There may be people who make big claims for pinhole glasses, but they aren't always justified. You have to use plus lenses. You have to get that blurred effect, which some people call fogging, when you read, and that forces the eye to relax. Now, if you have a child who's already nearsighted to some extent, and you're debating, should I get minus lenses for this child? Well, you should really try to put that off permanently if you can. Let the child sit up in the front of the class, and if some more help is needed, pinholes are great to see the board.
Mm-hmm.
And if the child were to use the pinholes for reading, well, it wouldn't do any particular harm. But if you give the child minus lenses, and then that child turns around and reads with them, that's where the damage comes.
Yeah. Well, just looking at a broader profile then, what about the rest of us who aren't young any longer? Can things like pinhole glasses help those of us who use computers a great deal and who are in our 30s, 40s, 50s? What's the advice you'd give for people in those kind of age ranges?
Well, They might help some people ease the strain of looking at a computer screen all day long. And usually when people get up to a certain age, they are no longer concerned with their myopia getting worse, because that levels off by the time you're out of your 20s. But pinholes are, I guess you could say, they just correct the eyes the way prescription glasses do. They make you see better. And one benefit of them is you don't have to keep changing them all the time. Now, I use them when the small print goes across the bottom of the TV. So there are tens of thousands of those pinholes sold every year, although you won't find them in an optical shop because they'd rather sell their prescription glasses.
You're raising an issue there, and let's deal with that. This, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to work out what you worked out, Donald. But you haven't had a great deal of success in trying to take that issue forward to the profession and get them to accommodate the reality of what's causing the vision defect.
Well, this is true. And back when I was getting started on this, and I actually even wrote a book about it called The Myopia Myth, and in there I described the myopia and everything that I thought parents would want to know. Unfortunately, it never became a bestseller. I couldn't even get it into bookstores. Public apathy is a big problem here with that. But now I have it on my website, myopia.org, in digital form. Anybody in the world can read it for free. But I went around to optometric conferences and delivered a couple of papers and things like that, but I found out there was absolutely no interest. So when the Internet came along, I thought, well, here's a great opportunity. So about 10 years ago, I put myopia.org onto the Internet, and we're still waiting for the revolution. I'm trying to keep the information out there for the public.
Well, yeah, thank God for the Internet. But there are other alternative approaches suggested. Can you exercise your eye back into proper vision, as is claimed?
Well, I think that's a fallacy that you can do that, and people often ask me that question, and I say if you're myopic, if you're nearsighted, your eyes don't need exercise. They're getting too much exercise. They need relaxation. It's as if you were trained your muscles in your arm every day until you got muscles locked up. So you don't need any more exercise. You need to stretch that muscle and relax it. So exercises are not going to do it.
Some practical things that we might do that could help the child maintain the correct reading distance with the right glasses would be to use, for example, a book stand so that the child is at an appropriate distance and that's sort of locked in because of the positioning of a book stand.
Yeah, that's true. That would certainly help because children tend to pull things close. It's tough to get them to learn to leave that book out there where it's just the tiniest bit blurred and don't bring it any closer. They almost have to be supervised constantly, and the teachers in school should be doing this, but the schools haven't had a bit of interest in any of this, unfortunately.
So, well, too, there are progressive schools, and as the Internet gathers pace, hopefully more will take this on board. So they could actually teach children how to maintain that right distance about 12 inches with the appropriate plus lens, and then just move it so that it's slightly blurred, giving a complete relaxation. That complete relaxation, Donald, could actually help prevent deterioration completely and even reverse what deterioration there might have been there.
Any child who does that should not become nearsighted.
Okay. It's as if the child is out in the open air playing around and using the eyes normally. They're as relaxed in school reading as they would be out in the open.
Right. And I usually make the suggestion that if a child is already nearsighted to some extent, just don't go buy minus lenses for the child. I mean, it's beneficial if things in the distance are a little blurred, if the child's looking at television across the room and it's slightly blurred. That blur is a sign that the eyes are relaxed.
Yeah.
So blur for distance, blur for close-up.
Okay. Donald, I just want to say personally to thank you for your commitment in this field. With the dawn of the Internet, maybe now we finally are going to get the story out, and you've spent a lot of years trying to get it out. I'd just like to thank you on behalf of all the children of the world that we will manage to get good vision for your commitment to bringing the truth out on this.
Well, thank you, and I appreciate your help. Maybe the hope is right around the corner.
Okay, well, we'll spread the word by whatever way we can, and I'd like to say to people listening, you can, for the children around you in your extended family, you can help ensure they have perfect vision throughout life. Isn't that a goal worth going for? Go to preventmyopia.org, go to myopia.org and start educating yourself. Donald has provided a huge amount of information there, including the steps you can take to ensure that vision. Thanks again, Donald, for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
I'll be back with more details on that, some tips, advice, and an explanation of exactly what's going on in the eye and why it's unlikely we can reverse the damage. You're on The Next Level. I'll be right back.
The only truth you know is what you get over this tube. Right now, there is a whole, an entire generation that never knew anything that didn't come out of this tube. This tube is the gospel, the ultimate revelation. This tube is the most awesome goddamn force in the whole godless world. And woe is us if it ever falls in the hands of the wrong people. Woe is us. And when the 12th largest company in the world controls the most awesome goddamn propaganda force in the whole godless world, who knows what shit will be made up of truth on this net. Listen to me. Television is not the truth. Television is a goddamn amusement park. Where's the border killing business? So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your guru. Go to yourself. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. Man, you're never gonna get any truth about this. Man, you're never gonna get any truth about this. Man, you're never gonna get any truth from us. We'll tell you anything you want to hear. We lie like hell. We'll tell you any shit you want to hear. We did in illusions, man. None of it is true. But you, And you're very welcome back. Let's take a little look closely at what's going on here, pardon the pun again, and just examine the processes in the eye, and then we'll take a look at some tips and advice that you can follow. Because despite what you just heard from Donald, maybe you're wondering if it could all be true, and if the optometrist profession is right to ignore this seemingly conclusive evidence. Remember, it's come from an engineer. That's Donald Rehm's background. It's in engineering. And I think any person with half an engineering brain can understand what's going on here. The human eye, in fact, is a masterpiece of engineering. And it is deliberately constructed so as to mean that there will be blurred vision in the human eye in its natural state. Why is that? Because it'll be very hard to get each eye absolutely perfect. So nature has worked out a system whereby the eye can refine itself as a young child ages, particularly between the ages, say, of 5 and 17. There is a very clever system in place. So, the eye is naturally a little too short. There is this ciliary muscle, which is wrapped around the focusing element of the eye. And what happens is this. The ciliary muscle, it provides the necessary tweaking of the system using focus in order to compensate for the fact that the eye is not perfect. And then what happens is something astonishing. There is a feedback loop between the ciliary muscle and eye development. So the body is aware that the ciliary muscle is having to adjust in order to see, and it is aware of the level of that adjustment and its depth and its intensity, and it responds to that contraction of the ciliary muscle by slowly elongating the eye. The idea is the eye will then elongate so that the ciliary muscle no longer has to tense to see perfectly. Thus you get a perfectly adapted eye with 20/20 vision. Because of the fact of modern education, meaning that we're looking at things at close range for years, the ciliary muscle never gets a chance to relax, and therefore the eye keeps elongating and elongating and elongating. And besides the myopic short-sightedness that results from this process, there's also a danger of issues like glaucoma and retinal detachment if that elongation is particularly intense. There's great individual variation in this, and as we know, some people don't suffer the short sight that the majority do. However, that's the process that's going on. Now, the reason why exercises may be of little use in this is that you have a system which is geared to go one way, folks. It's geared to go from an eye which is too short, deliberately by design, to one of perfect length. And the whole system's conditioned on this response to the ciliary muscle, and therefore this progressive elongation. So I'm not so sure that there is any way to reverse that. I think nature's engineering was very clever, but it's unlikely that once that elongation has taken place, you're going to be able to do anything to drive it back the opposite direction unless you catch it early. And here's where the opportunity comes, an opportunity to affect directly the vision of an entire generation that's growing up right now. Every one of us, folks, has an extended family. Every one of us knows of young children who are now beginning to read, beginning to spend time, a considerable period of every day, at close range reading and driving their vision into myopia. So what can we do? Well, you can go to the two key websites, preventmyopia.org, which gives you a great summary and great overview, and myopia.org, which gives you more detail. So both those websites strongly recommend it, Prevent Myopia and myopia.org in each case. And by the way, if you click on the photo of Donald that goes with this interview, then you'll get to a page of links which will give you all the detail you need. Now, what this means is it means taking personal responsibility by parents for their children's vision. That's it. Not handing it off to the optometrist who's going to destroy the child who is short-sighted by prescribing lenses that will induce even more short sight. So it means taking responsibility. It's sort of like home education. This is eye education. And you can get details on that at myopia.org/savechild.htm. And that will show you the steps you can use to test a young child's vision and then to use the appropriate plus lens in order to halt any progression into myopia. If the book or reading material or even computer is kept at least around 12 inches away and a plus lens is used of the correct strength, then myopia is going to be considerably reduced or completely prevented. So that's the opportunity, folks. So remember, these glasses, if they are used, should be used whenever the child is reading or using a computer, and they're simply protection in order to make sure that myopia does not set in. Something else you should consider is that this is not a recommendation to avoid all optometrical testing of your child's vision, to stay away from opticians, because of course some people do have various eye defects, and it is a good idea to have your child's eyes examined. Not necessarily to have that prescription filled though, but certainly the examination shouldn't be avoided. One thing that should be, however, is the use of dilating drops on the child's eye. You should and can insist that these toxic dilating drugs are not used. They are quite dangerous and should be avoided. Something else to be avoided, of course, is the LASIK or LASIK eye surgery. The problem there is that it may be effective, we simply do not know yet because we don't have full data on how it affects people as they age. And also, we do have data right now about the complication rate, and it is considerably in excess of the popularly quoted figures for the complication rate of that kind of laser surgery. It's a risk that you should avoid. Now, the important bit. You have that information now. It's not being put out by the mainstream media. It's not even been covered by the profession itself. So you are the repository of the information. You should, and I hope you will, help to get the word out. You can do that very effectively in your own extended family. You can also circulate and spread details about myopia.org, preventmyopia.org, and this interview, which I hope has been educational. Certainly been for me, and I wish I had access to this knowledge when I was growing up. You know, we teach our children to read. This has given me a whole new understanding of what the term really means. Teaching our children to read, once you have this information in your hands, means not just the A to Z, but issues such as distance and also monitoring children from very early on using a plus lens and teaching your child to use a book stand to hold the book 12 inches or so away and to make sure that they are at a distance from the text where it just begins to go blurred. And that will be their key to the kind of vision which nature intended them to have. Education and good vision are not irreconcilable. We can and should be using the right techniques to learn, to understand, to read, and at the same time to preserve our vision. Thanks again to Donald for joining us today. Thank you also. And I will be back very shortly with more. I hope you can join me then. But in the meantime, for breakfornews.com, this has been Fintan Dunn reporting.
You always keep me warm, hold me safe and away from harm. Keep day for night, and as the day fades, burn a candle right for me. Will you always keep me warm, hold me safe and away from harm. Keep day for night, and as the day fades, burn a candle right for me. Walking into the sun. Walking into the sun.
Into the sun. into the phone.